Last year at Build, we talked about a virtual layer, a new set of APIs that helps you build beautiful UI on Windows. During this year, we've been doing a lot of work to make it easy for you to make your UI and make it beautiful. On that note, that's why I want to talk to you about implicit animations. So let's dig in. And before we start, I want to start off with a demo and see what animations are and what we can do with them. So let me switch to the demo. This is a demo called Transformer. What you're seeing on your screen is you're seeing a lot of visuals which are laid into a grid layout and have buttons like circle, spiral, ellipse, scale, I'll explain that, and grid. So let me click circle and see what happens. I click circle, the layout changed to circle. And I click spiral, the layout changed to spiral. It's such a sudden change, you don't know what's happening, you don't know what's going on. And I click ellipse, it will go to ellipse. When I change scale, you'll see the scale of the images will grow and it will go back. If I click it again, when I click grid, everything is so sudden, you don't know what's happening. As a user, I don't know what happened. Now, when you animate things, you add some context. Now, when I click circle, you'll see a smooth transition into a circle. So as a user, I understand, okay, the layout is changing to a circle. Similarly, you know, if I do spiral, it will change to spiral. And when I click ellipse, it will change to ellipse. So that's what animations are. Now, as you're looking through this, you'll be wondering, I would have to write a lot of code to do these animations. And that's where you want to make it easy using implicit animations. We want to make sure that animations are templated so that you can reuse them across your code so that all the operations that you have are smooth and nothing just jumps from place to place, leaving the user confused of what happened. Also, we all know that change is the only constant. Now, you know, you released your app and 6 months later, the designer comes back and says, we've got a lot of feedback and this particular motion is not correct. We need to go and update that. We want to make it very easy and less intrusive for you to go and update your motions. And that's where you want to make sure that the animations, which is the personality, and the app logic live separately because they're very important for an app. How does it work? Well, once you get the motion that you want to do from your design team, you first create your animations and animation groups. Let's talk about animation groups. Animation groups are essentially a collection of all animations which you can apply to a visual. Now, when you would apply it, so what you can do is you can create triggers. Triggers are essentially the values which are changing, the properties on a visual, you can create them as triggers. So you can say, when my visual offset moves from A to B, register that as a trigger, and then when system notes that a visual property has been updated, it will create that as a trigger and do something for you. That do something is connecting the animation with the trigger. So you connect the animation with the trigger. Whenever the trigger happens, animation will play. Let's look at a very simple Hello World sample, right? Which is, I want to move my visual from left to right, and I want to do it over a time period. Let's see what amount of code do you have to go and write to do that. What you have to do is, you first have to go and create your implicit animation collection off of the compositor. Now, once you've created that, you will create the animation, which is a keyframe animation, and you will add the behavior, which is, at 100%, I want to go to this dot final value. Let's stop for a second and talk about this dot final value. This dot final value is a special keyword that we've added into our expression language. Now, if you don't know about our expression language, you should hear Lindsay's talk on expressions. What this dot final value does is, it update whenever you're making the change to any property, the system binds this dot final value to the updated property. When we go through the code, I'll explain that further. You define the time span that it should go for 2 seconds, and then you say implicit animations offset. Now, this offset is your trigger, and this will be registered with the system as a trigger, and whenever the offset for this particular visual will change, it will execute this animation. How do you connect the implicit animation with the visual? You basically just say visual.implicitAnimations equals to the implicit animation collection that you've created. Now, whenever you go and set a new offset to the visual, in this example, 20 float, a value of 20, what the system will do is it will say, okay, my offset for this visual is changing. It will go look for offset triggers. It finds the trigger, and then it connects that animation. When it goes to execute the animation, it says it will take the 20 value for your X, and it will bind that to the new offset, to this dot final value, and it will animate to that new value. Now, let's go back to our transformers code and see how much code do we have to go and do to animate all of our properties. So let me switch to Visual Studio. Now when I go to Visual Studio, this transfer.cs class, it has a lot of code to lay out the visuals on the screen, but we're not going to get into that today. Let's look at what happened. So you saw the checkbox of animations. Now on check, when I check that, I have this piece of code that I'm running. Let me uncomment it. And let's see, it's the same behavior that we just talked about, which is an implicit animation collection. I'm creating an implicit animation collection, and I am adding two triggers to it. Since it's a collection, you can add multiple triggers. So in this case, I'm adding offset and scale as my trigger. So whenever offset or scale will change, it will execute either the offset animation or the scale animation. Let's go to the definition of offset animations. Now, when you look at offset animation, what it's again doing is it's creating a vector 3 keyframe animation, and it's saying at 100, go to the final value, and it's targeting an offset. Remember I talked to you about animation templates? If you look at this animation that we're returning, it's essentially a template. And you can use this template for any offset changes that you're doing throughout the system. Now, there was a scale animation also, a scale trigger that we did. We did something interesting with it. We said, instead of just changing the scale, we also want to rotate the visual 45 degrees while it is changing its scale. So what we did was we created a composition animation group in that we first created a scale animation, which is a scalar, which is a vector 3 animation. And then we also created the rotation animation for the visual. And we added that to the animation group, which is a collection. So I just went in and I set animation group.add my scale keyframe animation and animation group.add rotation animation. So whenever a scale value change will happen, the system will execute two animations. One is the scale animation, and the other one is the rotation animation. Now let's go back and look how that executes. So when I do scale now, you'll see that it very nicely tilts and changes the scale. Let me go back to my grid again, and you'll see it will just animate back. And then if I go back to circle, and I can click more animations at the same time, and it will do that. So looking back, essentially what is happening is whenever a visual property is updated, if there is a trigger associated with it, then it will animate to the new value using the animation which is associated, or else it will update to its final value. But there's more. We went farther and we said, how can we expose this to, to our XAML developers, and how will our XAML developers use this? So let's look at the app photo gallery. What you're looking here is, you're looking at a photo gallery, and it is laid out as a grid, and we all have done layouts before, and when you're simple layout, when you change the layout, it just goes to the next value, and the user is like, what's going on? You can use theme transitions to do some sort of animations, but you cannot customize it. Using implicit animations, we've made it easy for you to animate layouts also. So now, when I will go to my Photos app again, what you will see is, as I click the Animation Enable button, it will start animating the layout changes. So what would happen is, as I do this, now you see there's a smooth transition. The image rotates and then settles into its new place. As I will do this, it will do that again. And if I, shorten my layout or decrease the width of my layout, it will do that. And now if I go and do maximize the app, we'll again go and do that. Let's go to the code and see how did we implement it. Now, if I look at my XAML, what it essentially has is, it essentially has a lot of images in that grid view. And then if I go look at my code behind, what you would see is there's a container content changing. So essentially what we're doing here is, on container content changing, which is whenever an item is getting added to the container, we are getting the backing visual of the element. Once you get the backing visual of the element, what you can do is, on that visual, you can define the trigger, which is the offset again. In this case, offset, you can do other visual triggers also. And then I'm returning an animation. Let's go to look at that animation. So if you look at the animation, it essentially is the same animation that we saw before, which is it's returning a template that will be executed for, you know, 0.4 seconds. The first animation will target offset, and the rotation animation is targeting rotation angle, and we're adding that to the animation group, and then we're returning that group. And whenever the offset is changing now, the animation will happen. So you no longer have to listen to size changed events. You don't have to do your own calculation on where the element is landing. System does all the hard work for you, and you can just define the behavior, and it will happen. Call to action. Follow us on Twitter. We communicate a lot on Twitter. Follow us on GitHub. Download our samples and give us feedback, so that we can really make this API great and very easy for you to consume. Thank you. Enjoy your build.